Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavirayam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, Sri Tattva, no.
Krishna.
Sandarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarna 2, The Glories of the Eternal Associates of Krishna. Anucheda 138. Six verses explain this. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa, vrajau kasham. Yan mitram paramanandam, purna brahma sanatanam. How greatly fortunate are Nandamaras, the cowherd men, and all the other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There's no limit to their good fortune, because Krishna gave them friendship, which is the highest bliss, eternal and complete. 10.14.32 Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. After praising the Brajabhasis with Ragatmika Vatsalya Prema, Brahma, in praising those with Ragatmika Sakya Prema, praises all those relishing intimate relationships with the Lord. He repeats the phrase Aho Bhagyam twice to indicate his extreme bliss and astonishment. The neuter case is used instead of the masculine case as a matter of traditional usage. The use of the word Ananda indicates Brahman, described in the Shrutis as Satyam Vijnanam Ananda Brahma. The word Parama is used with it to indicate that Krishna is the basis of Brahman. Because this whole, the confusion comes up much of the time because of the aspect of Brahman just means existence of things. Right? And the existence of things is so glorious that it's effulgent. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Krishna, his existence, you know, being full of glory, unlimited perfect qualities and activities and that, that is effulgent, it's glorious. That effulgence is simply just the basis that things sit on. You know, it's like we sit on the floor, or you're sitting on the rug. You know, you sit on something. Everything sits on something. So ultimately everything sits on Krishna, but what everything is sitting on, so it's not that Krishna has to sit there and his hands there, and how do you interact with Krishna? He's personally having to hold everything up. Right, he does that through through that manifestation of Brahman. So that's the basis of everything. But Krishna is the basis of Brahman, so that's how he's the basis of everything. Everything sits on Brahman, and Brahman sits on him. Right, so that's the spiritual platform. But Krishna interacting with his devotees, that's the transcendental platform. Right? It's all spiritual. It's all transcendental, but when you're showing the two together, you show one spiritual simply means it has that spiritual nature as Brahman. But then beyond that state, then there's the interactions based on affection between Krishna and the devotees. Does that make sense? So this throws people off, because as soon as you say Brahman, oh, that's Mayavadi and this and no. It's just that we're Brahman, yes, because we're spirit. So simply Brahman means it's spirit. So everything sits on spirit. So even the material world is sitting on spirit. It doesn't have a separate existence, like the Mayavadis are trying to say, you know, or the modern, you know, the atheists are trying to say. So everything's based on there. So he's just seeing that, the great fortune and everything like that. You know, how they, you know, everything is then connected with them. So So that aspect is glorious. And then you see beyond that, you know, the transcendentally situated, and not only that, they are interacting in an intimate way with the original person, you know, the source of transcendence. So that becomes just so glorious, because others are just awed by it, or, you know, trying to attain it, or having attained it, they're just impressed by that position and just like that. But these within, they don't care for that position. They just care about interacting with Krishna. So while so many others are so impressed by the spiritual, they're not. They're impressed by Krishna's wonderful qualities and just interact with Krishna. So the rati goes farther. Right? So if the rati is that, yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's an important aspect to understand, is that because we make this big deal out of, oh, it can't be spiritual and this and that and only Brahman's spirit. But the point is, no, everything's spirit. Now it's just a matter of, it is, just like it said before on the jivas. The jivas are eternally pure. But they can get distracted in the consciousness, so they think they're not. So they identify, how you identify is how you behave. Right? If you think you're an idiot, then you act like an idiot. If you think you're smart, you act like you're smart. Right? So, because they think they identify with the material, therefore they act in that way. Right? But the idea is that you have the spiritual platform. Everything is spirit, and it's all based on spirit. It's all based on Krishna. And so for some, getting to that spiritual platform is, but you're already on that spiritual platform. You just have to understand it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know? Like that, you know. So that's the thing, is that it's just like, let's say people are on the boat and they're moving around the boat very comfortably doing their activities, this and that, but then there's somebody out in the water, so they pull them up on the boat. So they don't just, as soon as they pull them up on the boat, hey, how are you? You know, this and that. You know, hey, you know, where, you know, where, you know, what are we doing? You know, no, they sit there and just, you know, they're out of the water and this and that. And somebody, you know, they're so absorbed in just, they're on the boat. And so after, it takes time before then they'll relax, and then they can start acting in another way. And that's only by association. Because if there was no one on the boat, they would still be like that. You know, and the person in the water is just thinking about being on a boat. They're not thinking about, you know, they're going to have a party on a boat. Is that, you know, so they're just trying to get out. So they put so much emphasis on that when that's not actually the real thing. The real thing is Krishna. He's the basis of all that. So his pastimes are the real thing, and they have a foundation. But everyone gets so, how you say, absorbed in the foundation. You know, it's like engineers. To them, the most important picture is the one in the foundation. You know? Because it's big and elaborate, and what they had to do and the dig, and the dirt's like this, so we had to do this, and this one's lower because the dirt went down here, and this is higher here, and then we had to make this wider because of this. It's a whole thing for them. The building is, yeah, big deal. You know, it's all But the real thing is the building. Who cares? The foundation is there. It's good. Its purpose is to hold up the building. The real thing is that. So we get so distracted by the idea of, you know, I have the basis of things, and I know how to manipulate it, and I have the knowledge for that, and I have the technique, and I'm able to get it by experience. And so that becomes the big thing, rather than the experience that you gain with others doing that. Because if you remove Krishna, you automatically remove the activities, you know, of relationship. And so we can falsely put those onto other things, but we find there's no satisfaction until we repose that desire for relationship in Krishna. Then when that's there, because he's the basis of everything, now everything has its importance. But until we say, no, it's important, then, okay, today you're doing this. What were you doing 10 years ago? 10 years ago, that was important. You know, being an idiot at university was really important. But now, is it? When you're 30 years old, is that important? No. So if it was so important, why isn't it important now? You know? And then when you were little, you know, you're playing with a stick and a ball and this and that and running around and laughing and joking, but you weren't doing that at university. So the whole thing, people say, no, well, this is important. It's only important to you now. After a few short time, it won't be important anymore. You'll go on to the next. So nothing's universal until you include Krishna. When Krishna's the center, everything, he being the basis of everything, now everything has a meaning because it's all connected to him. Therefore, Vaikuntha has a meaning, Brahman has a meaning, the material world has a meaning. You know, Ayodhya, Dwarka, they all have, because they're all connected to him. So when you see Krishna as the center, since he is the full center, the full manifestation, therefore you don't have any problem with any other realm and how it connects to Krishna. But if you're not seeing Braja Krishna, then there's always going to be that fight, because you're seeing a detail that. Person in Ayodhya is going to have a problem with the person in Dwarka. You know, ultimately it's all Vishnu, and so it's just all some good, clean fun, but you do have that kind of stuff. You know, because they know Vishnu is the supreme, but then there's different manifestations, but, you know, so they into their particular detail. But Krishna is not a detail. Krishna in Braj is not a detail. He's the complete manifestation. Therefore, all tastes that are there anywhere are in him. And so one who's attracted to him can appreciate all other states of existence.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when that's appreciated, then you see is that therefore all his associates are also on that level. And so then it's going to be, you know, very, very special. So they, like him, are on that transcendental platform. He's the source, he's the basis, but still, that they are able to interact with him, then that's good. So, yeah. The word Parama is used to indicate that Krishna is the basis of Brahman. The word Purna indicates that Krishna is distinct from the avatar forms who are also Brahman Sarup, or Brahma Sarup, right? So he's still, even though they're all Brahman, they're all him, but he's still distinct from them. He is all the expansions, but at the same time as he's separate, because he's the origin of them all. So their manifestation is manifesting a particular aspect of his person to do a particular function. So, yeah. He is the friend, Mitra, but not a temporary friend, an eternal friend, Sanatana, of Sridhama and others, Yat. Right, so here we have friends, and then in this life they may come, they may go, or this life, it's a long life, but then you will leave the body, then that's gone. Right, so only Krishna then is the eternal friend, because then that relationship is eternal. And then based on Krishna as the center, then other relationships also become eternal. From this eternal friendship, it is also understood that Sridhama and others are also eternal. If I make a statement, he is an excellent Brahmana, because his brahminical qualities are excellent, the person's excellence is also understood. Similarly, in speaking of the eternal friendship, the friends are also understood to be eternal, because otherwise, if it's an eternal friendship, how do you have an eternal friendship if they're not eternal? Right? So even as Paramatma, there's an eternal friendship, but that's with the soul, not with the form, and not with the interaction. Because those change every lifetime. But here with Sridhama and others, then it never changes. They're the same personality, same mood, same kind of relationship, same kind of basis of activities. You know, unlimited variety, but still, that doesn't change. This must be explained, since the word Mitra connotates simply an ordinary friend. But that's the mood is they're like they're just an ordinary friend. You know, that's the thing. They're not thinking it's eternal, like we saw with the Brajbasis. They're talking to Krishna, you know, the elders and all that. You know, when will we attain to the spiritual realm? And they're in Braj. So he takes them to that Akrura Ghat and shows them the spiritual world. you know, and shows how they're there, you know, so then, oh, okay. You know, that's why he goes to Kuruga, because that's there, because the Vaikuntha aspect, and you see all that, and then you see them, and then they see them with Krishna. So they just think it's ordinary. They, I mean, Krishna's human pastimes, he acts like a human, they also act like. Right? Because, so that's the taste. In Vaikuntha, you're eternal, God's eternal, that's going to be there eternally. You don't have to worry about it. So the intensity will be less. It'll be wonderful. You're on the absolute platform, it's wonderful. But when you have that feeling of that human thing, that, you know, the separation, the this, the that, and right? Like in Vaikuntha, they say, yes, you know, Vishnu goes out sometimes for some work and all that. But you don't see them, you know, how you say, the intensity of separation is not there. You know, they like when he's around. That's their preference. But it doesn't have that intensity. Right? All the inhabitants of Vraja are ruled by Nandagopa. Nandagopa, Vrakau Kasham, down to the birds and beasts, were fortunate. What then to speak of Nanda himself as cowherd men? Who can speak of the fortune of those who became the friend of Paramanda Brahma Sanatana? There's not another A in there? Paramananda?
I was also thinking the same thing.
It looks like it. But you do have Anandam. No, there has to, there needs to be an A. It needs to be because Parama. Because otherwise, it's Parama Anda.
Which it refers to the universe.
Oh, then if it's that, then that's fine. This is okay. Yeah, then it's okay. Be described. It is indescribable. The gopas themselves say, "Oh Nanda, all of us of Vraja have uncontrollable attraction to your son. He has also a natural affection for us. What is the cause?" So this uncontrollable means they just see they're attracted. It's not that there's an intellectual process there. So that's the point of the, as I mentioned before, the ragatmika. That rag, that attraction, that's the driving force. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:26-13. The cause is, he is Purna Brahma. The inhabitants of Vraja give bliss to the form of supreme bliss, and the inhabitants become full of bliss. Brahma expresses extreme astonishment at this exchange of love. Aho Bhagyam. Sararta Darshani 10:14-32. What indescribable fortune, which is the mercy of Krishna. By the repetition of the phrase with reverence, complete fortune which cannot be broken is indicated. Since he is eternally perfect as the fullest, highest bliss, he is established as eternal, sanatanam. Or, what is to be established as is stated later, to produce a precise statement. For example, it may be said, this attractive gold has become this earring. This establishes that the earring is attractive. The two qualities of completeness and highest bliss of Krishna, who will be mentioned later, which modify the word friendship, produce perfection in that friendship. The one word sanatanam completes that friendship. Right? Because you're describing one as perfect. That means the other that's connected with it is perfect. Otherwise, how are they interacting? Like, you know, like you said, the attractive gold. Gold is attractive. We made this ornament out of it, this earring. So that means the earring is attractive. Since there is no time limitation put on the friendship, it continues for all time. That friendship which is to be established, continues in all three stages of time. Limitation on time is impossible as a meaning. The qualities of completeness and highest bliss are modified by eternal sanatanam. Thus, the associates there are also eternal in friendship with the Lord. Right? So, yeah. Scriptures show that Rukmini and others are also eternal. Right? So therefore, you have the completeness, highest bliss, their model sanatana. So it's eternal. That completeness is eternal, that highest bliss is eternal. Anucheta 139. Let it be accepted that they are eternal and that they are experiencing that they experience the highest bliss of having Krishna as a friend. At the moment, we also have good fortune. Quote, O infallible Lord, what can be said of the great fortune of the people of Braja? We, the deities of the directions, are also fortunate. Headed by Shiva, we constantly drink through the cups of their senses. The nectar and liquor from your lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14-33. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Here something should be considered. The sun, moon, devatas, men, animals, and all other entities of the spiritual world are Satchitananda. The material sun, moon, the devatas, are imitations of the spiritual counterparts. The devatas of the material realm are specifically empowered agents of the devatas of the spiritual world. The material senses cannot act alone. Only by the devata's power can the senses experience material objects. But the spiritual senses of the associates of the Lord experience the Lord's form and sound by their own spiritual senses, not those of the material devatas. But Brahma, in his enthusiasm, identified his powers over material intellect with the senses of the inhabitants of Braja. Furthermore, the material senses... Right, so where's our senses work because of the devatas. Those devatas have their power because of the primordial devatas. Right? Like that. But here, the associates of Krishna, they're experiencing directly through their senses. There's no devata in between. They don't require.
Brahma is saying that they enjoy through their senses as if they are the ruling demigods of the senses. This is what he's saying. Is that right?
Yeah, basically. But it's so he's pointing out they're separatists, but in his enthusiasm he connects it, so he's kind of connected and part of the scene. Oh. Because if they're enjoying that on their own, you know, then that means that then they're enjoying by seeing their enjoyment, and so because they rule the senses, then this way then they feel they get some benefit from watching them and engaging in their senses. So it's just like someone in an enthusiastic position identifies himself with somebody superior.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of hang out and, you know, like you have those pictures you know, some very big person, and you'll have like an industrialist of that, and they'll be super big grin on their face, like that. You know, say the president's looking, you know, pleasant, but the other guy is looking like ecstatic. You know, so he's got the chance; he can interact, and so he kind of identifies himself there, and that way he feels very happy.
So it is possible actually to enjoy through other, you know, personal senses. And demigods, according to this statement, always do, because they activate the material senses of the living entity. So when we act, they get the, you know, whatever benefit they get. Is that correct?
You could say, but at the same time, is what we're enjoying may not be up to the standard with there. It's just like, let's say the kid is eating something.
Yeah.
They like to eat, let's say, a particular cookie or candy. You yourself wouldn't eat it.
Right.
But by your control, they have the thing that they can enjoy with their senses.
Yeah.
So you may enjoy that they're enjoying, but it's not necessarily that what they're enjoying, yeah, they're enjoying.
Yeah.
That's if they want. So for us, what we enjoy here is not something that the demigods are into. So I think it's one of the places, maybe it's Nectar of Devotion or that, that's talking about that the... Previously, the demigods would come to the Earth planet for the various big yajnas and everything like that, but now they don't come, so it's making the point they don't even come here to pass urine, you know, so it's not like, you know, hey, excuse me one second, you know, and they come down here, and, you know, so it's they just aren't involved, but the point is, but the same principle, then they're identifying that the devatas are seeing the Brajbasis. And then through watching them and engaging their senses in Krishna's service, since senses are their field, then they're enjoying that taste that they have in Krishna consciousness. But technically, they're just seeing that interaction, and there it has nothing to do with them. It's not like the senses, but because they work in that field then.
So it's not a direct connection.
No, it's not a direct. That was why he says in his enthusiasm. But Brahma, in his enthusiasm, says, only the Devadas power can the senses experience material objects, but the spiritual senses of the associates of the Lord experience the Lord's form and sound by their own spiritual senses, not those of material Devatas. But Brahma, in his enthusiasm, identified his powers over material intellect with the senses of the inhabitants of Braja. Yeah, because the intellect controls the senses. What the senses do, that's decided by the mind, right? Because when we said you know, about the action, the focus, endeavor, and daiva, then the mind is the element of focus. Because like the mind's all over the place, you're not focused. The mind is on one point that you call focus. So in this case, the mind, instead of being in the position of prayojana, is in the position of sambandha. So it's saying it's focused. So therefore, now you will act.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So the control of the mechanical control of the senses, that's the intellect. Where that mechanical element will be applied, that's the mind. Because let's say you go to you have a big feast and you have 10 things on your plate. Now, how you go, use the fingers, go there, pick it up, properly, put it in your mouth, you got it organized that your mouth opens in time for you to put things in your mouth, it's not that you're that or anything like that, or taking out someone else that, like that, he's got power over you. Thank you. Okay, So the intellect is controlling the senses, but the mind decides, I'll eat this. You have something, and then say you have so many things, and then sometimes the kids will just eat the sweets first, because that's what they want to eat. Because if they eat all the other stuff, they may be too full to eat the sweets, so eat the sweets full first, and if they're going to get full, then they want to eat the other stuff. Right? But you also see it sometimes, they'll eat everything else and pick out all the good things and set it on the side, like the paneer, and eat it last because it's the best. So they eat the whole, paneer sabji without the paneer, and then eat the paneer on its own. And so whatever it is, so that's the mind. Mind decides that. But the mechanics of how that will function, that's intellect. That's why it said, Prajumna is the lord of the senses, means mechanically he manages the senses. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But what sense will be used at what time with what? That's the mind. Therefore, that's the ultimate point. That's where the experience is. So Aniruddha is said to be the lord of the senses. But it's actually the experience of the senses that he's the lord of. But that's the point of the senses, so in that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why you get these things, because one is the experience gained from it. The other is the application of it. But that you can apply it, that goes by your identity. I'm a guy who can apply my senses like this and get this result. Because if you don't think you can do it, right, isn't that a main theme in the thing? The guy, it was like Hanuman. He just thinks he's just one of the boys, one of the monkeys. So, they're saying, okay, who can, Lanka's 100 yojans away, who can jump there? Because we need to go there and find out if Sita's there or not. They still haven't found Sita yet. And so then they're discussing amongst the monkeys, the big monkeys there, how far can, I can jump, 50 yojana. I can jump 60. I can jump 80. No one can jump 100. But the Jambavan knows Hanuman can jump 100. But Hanuman doesn't know that. No one else there knows it, because they also think he's just one of the monkeys. Because in this pastime, when he comes to not Rishi Shringa, what's the
Sugriva?
No, yeah, but the forest there?
Kishkinda.
Huh? Kishkinda. Yeah, when he comes to Kishkinda, then he's just one of the boys. He's just another monkey. He's a good monkey, smart monkey. But they don't know. But Jambavan, because he's in every pastime of Lord Ramachandra since the beginning of time, so therefore he knows who Hanuman is. So then he starts telling the glories of Hanuman. And it's only if someone tells him then he remembers. Then he gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That makes sense?
Yeah. So there's a description in the Bhagavatam very often in the 10th canto that the demigods, they actually get the darshan of different pastimes of the Lord, and you know, they enjoy it, and they throw, you know, flower petals and like that. So I was always wondering, they see according to their own level of Krishna consciousness, is that correct?
Yes. Means they're going to be using, means because they're seeing prakat pastimes.
Yeah.
The spiritual counterparts, they're in the pastimes. Right, but in the prakat, they're seeing because the pastimes are allowed to be seen, and so then they're seeing in that way, and then you know, so they're, that's why you see they're in the clouds and all that. You always hear, like in Mahabharata or like that, is that when, you know, they come the Kurukshetra war, they all come and hang out, and check out what's going on, or when Drona brought all the students, you know, together to show, because it's a big event. You have all the princes of the world, you know, going to show their talents. You know, that's going to be good, because for the demigods in those days, those people with those talents could come up and fight with them. So, like you see, Arjuna can defeat the demigods. Right? So they come to watch. You know, this is a big event. Mm-hmm. You know, and then when Karna came out, then there was the whole thing with the sun and Indra. So then the sun is shining, and then the cloud comes in, and then the sun shines. That's this whole thing, and, you know. So they come and they see, because it's prakat pastimes,
right?
But in their original forms, as the yadus, right? Then they're seeing with their spiritual senses. They don't need the position of as a demigod, then therefore they're getting their power from the primordial demigods and this and that, therefore they're seeing. Because the Yadus are the original. Then they expand, you know, to Vaikuntha and become the demigods and this and that.
Yeah.
So in other words, the primordial demigod comes from them. And then from that comes the demigod. So it's their expansion. So there's Indra is there in the original. You know, and Varuna and everybody, they're there in the original.
Yes, if I remember correctly, this verse is quoted again to explain that point, that demigods take shelter of these pure devotees in that sense, that actually they are taking shelter of their senses, and because they also participate when Lord come in the past times.
But they're there as the Yadus and as the demigods.
Yes, that's what.
Because the demigod is already there in the Yadu. But at the same time, as they're there, so they've taken birth as they're there. So, you know, like when Krishna comes, all the avatars are there. So you can call them Vamana. You can't, you know, like the devotees call them. You're the supreme. You're the, you know, Paramatma. You know, you're, you know, Garbhodaksha. You're Karana. Because he is. Because they're all part of him. But at the same time, as he is beyond. So some of them get to that point beyond, and some don't. Like that, or they'll understand he's beyond, but they don't get into the personal aspects of it. They just know he's superior. So,
yeah, I remember in Lagu Bhagavatamritam, Rupa Goswami, he explains the avaranas of Lakshmi Narayan and the primordial demigods and the seventh avarana. Does it mean that it's eight from Krishna? Or it's just a different thing, we shouldn't need to.
That means you'll have the thing is that, yes, from Krishna, the demigods that are there, the primordial ones, so they'll be, the primordial means they'll be either with Vaikunthapati or they're with with Karana, Dakshay, Vishnu, Garbha, Dakshay, Vishnu, like this. I don't know exactly how the Avaranas are unfolding there. But point is in that way you can say, yes, it's eighth from Krishna, but at the same time, in Krishna's pastimes in Braj, there's going to be demigods there that are before all these others.
Yeah.
You know, so the whole thing is the avaranas is the formal as it goes out.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that Krishna himself, everything's not already there. Just as everything is there, but it's not formalized. Right? Because how will it go in the pastime? Okay, Krishna is coming back from the fields, you know, covered pastures, back to Braj. It's the evening time, right? So it's Golduli, you know, the evening when the kind of the you know, getting towards it. It's not twilight yet, but it's kind of the sun setting. It doesn't have that same power and all, so it's time to go back. And as he's coming back, the demigods come and offer, they come there and offer their respects to Krishna, you know, there in the cowherd field, and say so many nice prayers and all that. And the cowherd boys, because they're trained properly by their parents, they're respectful in that. And, you know, they stay on the side and just, you know, don't do anything because Krishna's interacting with them. It's not part of their scene. But as soon as they leave and they go, then they start goofing about, I see the guy with the 10, you know, the 4 heads and like that. It's like, yeah, what about the guy with all the eyes on his body, you know, like this. And, you know, did you check out that elephant? You know, like they, you know, all these kind of things are goofing on them. But at the same time, how would it have meaning that these cowherd boys are possibly the source of those demigods? How will it work in the pastime? How will it enhance the pastime? It doesn't at all. In fact, it kind of gets in the way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, yes, I'm coming here to offer the formal prayers and all that, but actually, you know, I'm standing over there, you know, goofing on me over here, and, you know, we just thought it would be a nice time that we come here and, you know, do this thing for you, Krishna. You know, it's not going to work. So, once you get down to Mahanarayan, it means down to the Chakravyuha, now it takes on that formality. Mm-hmm. But then I think it's with Mahanarayan that then that's where the awareness go, from Mahanarayan or from Vasudeva, the Chakravyuha, the first Chakravyuha. But whatever, in any place at that point.
I think Rupa Goswami explains from Lakshmi Narayan.
Yes.
He doesn't speak Chaturvyuha.
Yeah, because that Chaturvyuha is bore, because you'll have them and then the Chaturvyuha after the second Chaturvyuha.
Yeah.
So that's just part of, because it's going, so they see the four directions and all that, and so then Krishna's in the whirl, and then the pastimes, and then the four directions and the square, and then after that, then everything else starts.
Yeah.
So in all that, everything else, then that formality can be there. And it's very much part of the scene, but not in Goloka, it's not too much part of the scene. Vaikuntha, it's the total scene. But you see, is that as you increase that aspect of knowledge, then the aspect of that their rati wanes. You know, so if he becomes too much, he's the supreme lord, then all the other rasas disappear and they just become a dasya. If they're Santa, they stay Shanta, of course, but if they're anything above Dasya, it just drops down to Dasya. So it doesn't have any purpose in the Braj pastimes. Right? That aspect of knowledge, it doesn't have any purpose. That's why we're saying it's spontaneous. It doesn't mean they don't have knowledge. Like you see, the Goswamis come here. You don't have... It means Jiva Goswami is the greatest scholar in contemporary history. That means within Kali Yuga. You know, and there's a good chance he's just smarter than people even before that. You know, like that. And then you're going to have the other five Goswamis. And their scholarship and everything is way beyond... They're just, he's the most scholarly. You know, I can see how he analyzes. So the group of them together, the six of them together, you know, you take all the intellectuals on the planet, you know, in past history up to now and into the future, and they will never compare. All of them together on one side, and these six Goswamis on the other, never compare. It doesn't mean they don't have knowledge, but the knowledge is not necessary for the relationship. It's not necessary for the taste or the attraction. But in Vaikuntha, it's necessary. You know he's God, so you're attracted. You know, there's enough yoga maya that you can be attracted and interact, because you see, just God on his own, then Arjuna couldn't interact. He just saw the universal form, which is a lower form, and he becomes freaked out. So you have to put some yoga maya to just keep there. So yoga maya is always acting, it's just how much. But they like that taste of the knowledge, and therefore then that's there. But Braj is not based on knowledge, doesn't mean they don't have knowledge. It's just, it's not necessary for the relationship. You know, it's just like, let's say you have two nuclear physicists, right? You know, and they're husband and wife. But the basis of their relationship is just their personal interaction. It's not to do nothing to do with the physics. Does that make sense? It's just, it's a common ground. Physics is the common basis, but it's not the basis of the relationship. Well, if you go down to the school, down to the campus, then there all the relationships are based on that this is a physicist and he's this level and this guy's the chair and this guy's the dean and this guy's the chemist, you know, he's a professor. We expect him like that, but he's a chemist, he's not a physicist, you know, like that, so he's a little bit less, but, you know, he's better than the psychologist professor, you know, and stuff like that. Does that make sense? It's all based on that. You know, and it's a taste. You know, they walk around the university, the big guy, everybody knows. You know? And so then it's all there. You want to move up, you hang out with the guys that are bigger than you. You know? Yeah. You know, so like that. But if it's just, you know, they're close friends, that doesn't matter. That just happens to be the foundation that they work on. So Brudge is that spontaneous devotional service. That's the foundation. And so then they have the relationships in there. Doesn't mean they don't have the knowledge, but it's not important for the relationship. As we see in the beginning of the pastimes, in Brudge, they don't have that knowledge. They're surprised by it. But it doesn't affect their relationship with him. But you see at the end of the 10th canto, then they can sit there and listen to Vasudev talk about how he's the supreme and this and that, and how, you know, Dwarkavasis or Vaikunthavasis would talk about the absolute truth, and it's just cool, you know. You know, it's like, hey, our boy made it, you know. Is that?
Yeah.
You know, is that how you? Yeah.
You know, our boy also made it.
Yes, that's the whole point. Yeah, because everything, no one can become God. One of our boys made it. Yeah, so like that. So it's just, it's cool.
So I just want to clarify, because it's, according to my experience studying in the Nectar of Devotion, the first 19 chapters, mm-hmm. which is the official course of
yes,
everybody, yes. The two most how you say, misunderstood topics.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's my own experience. The first is Varnashrama, when Rupa Goswami doesn't include Varnashrama in the 64 items of the sadhana.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is Raganuga sadhana.
Mm-hmm.
So, Varnashrama, it's a different discussion, but now, because we discuss the difference between Vaikuntha and Braj in mood.
Mm-hmm.
So then Rupa Goswami explains that up to a certain point, which he defines as a spontaneous attraction
mm-hmm.
to the Lord, which means when Raga is born or developed to that level, then living entity can actually feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jnana and Vairagya, they have their own place. But then after that, it's not important, it's not necessary. Mm-hmm. It's driven by the taste itself.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to clarify that some devotees, it just doesn't happen. They the opulence of the Lord, the knowledge of the opulence of the Lord, this is what is a driving force all the way through, and then they just go to Vaikuntha.
Mm-hmm.
And then some, they start Vaiti, which is, you know, rules and regulation, instruction of the spiritual master, and then they shift, and then the natural taste is awoken in their heart, and then they continue, you know, in their own direction towards
mm-hmm.
that. So would it be correct explanation?
Yes, yes. I think it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur then explains that the point of spontaneous devotional service, that comes up If it hasn't come up during sadhana practice, it will come up at the stage of bhava.
Yeah.
For those who are pursuing, worshipping Radha and Krishna and Braja, it'll just come up. If it hasn't come up before that.
Yeah.
You know, but, because he mentions that these, and I think Rupa Goswami mentions that this spontaneous aspect comes up after anartha nivritti.
Yeah.
And so, actual anartha nivritti is when you don't have the material body, you have your spiritual body and can function in that. Does that make sense? But still you have to develop attraction for Krishna. You may have no material attraction, but you still have to develop that attraction for Krishna. So then that spontaneous by the association of the devotees, it can come up. So that'll happen at the Uttama platform. Mm-hmm. So the earliest you can get a glimmer is at the stableness at the Madhyama platform. It won't happen before that. When we're taking Madhyama platform, meaning here we're taking, the definition we're giving here of steadiness is that you have faith that all other processes, religious processes and that are already contained within the process of bhakti. You don't see any need of anything else other than devotional service. That faith, that's what we're describing here in this definition, that's nishtha. And from that, then you get a taste and you get attachment. It moves forward very nicely. We're not using the definition of, you might have that, but not necessarily know Shastra very much. So technically from that, you might be counted as a neophyte.
Yeah.
Like that. So in other words, pure devotional service begins at nishtha.
Yeah.
Because you're fixed in this. But if you don't have much, that might be before, like Prabhupada said, is disciple of third class pure devotees. Yeah. Just because they don't know the Shastra so much. You know, you saw the completely dedicated and this and that, but then when a serious discussion of Shastra came up on what's appropriate and what's not, Satsarup was the only one that could deal with it. Means one. No one else knew what to say. No one else knew what to do. Because in that way they were neophytes because they didn't know the Shastra that well. But as far as their dedication and conviction that this is the process and nothing else, Then they had that faith. As far as the Shastra goes, they couldn't explain anything. So that's when Prabhupada put in the morning and evening class on a regular basis and started the like that,
Yeah.
So we also have to see is that what we're talking here. So we mean that's the definition, because then you have Dridha Shraddha. The Shraddha is fixed. Kamal Shraddha means it can be this, it can be that, It's specifically Krishna conscious, but you're distracted by other things, things like that. And so that becomes, that's not firm faith. But when you know Krishna consciousness is the basis, and then everything else is seen in that context, right? How it serves Krishna, then it has a meaning. So in that way, then the spontaneous devotional service then is just that natural attraction without any intellectualizing. You say, no, but I think this and I think that, and so I think I'm on the spontaneous. That's intellectualized. Does the boy like the girl? Or the girl like the boy? Do they have to intellectualize? Well, it's like he does come, and when he does walk in the door, I tend to look, and that, I'm happy when he sits in the desk, in front of me or next to me like that. When he's not there, then maybe not. So, yeah, I don't know. It kind of looks like there is some kind of attraction and things like this and that. But then the other day, I was really absorbed with one of my friends and all that, and he did walk by and I didn't look. So, yeah, I don't know. So there's no spontaneous attraction here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the point is it's either there or it's not. But it doesn't matter. By following the process, the heart becomes purified. The natural position of the soul is to have that affection for Krishna. But it's also a matter of taste. That's the jnana shakti, is the taste. Is it sweetness or is it majesty? That's one of the aspects of jnana shakti. And so there are those who do like the majesty. It has orderliness, it's discipline, it has all those things. And so it makes everything fit into place. You got all your ducks in a row, and it works nice. So it's not a problem. So sadhana bhakti means the activities that you perform that are directly devotional service. you know, or are preliminaries to devotional service that get you nicely situated there. Right? So the first 20 are basically what things you should do, what things you should avoid. Then the next 44 are the direct activities. Right? And of those, they can be categorized, all those together, into the five. So the funny part is the five are part of the 39 at the same time as then they're the five.
Yeah.
You know, so they're mentioned twice. Yeah. You know, like that. So it's so you can see, you know, whether something's mentioned twice, it's important. So then it's just a matter of those 64 items will be done whether one's on the spontaneous platform or not. We take it that, okay, on the spontaneous platform there's no need of knowledge or renunciation. So we take, oh, we throw out, you know, the knowledge or renunciation because it's too much trouble. Or no, I like knowledge and I say, no, I want to keep that. But the point is it doesn't drive your participation in the process. Spontaneous, you're attracted to Krishna. Before that, it does. I have knowledge, therefore I do. I'm detached from the material and attached to Krishna, so I give up these things. So it just doesn't become the motive.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you're really hungry, do I have to tell you that, you know, eating food is very good, nourishes the body and all that, gives, you know, it inspires the senses, the mind works better, everything like this and that, the energy levels are up, you know, the protein and that balances. Do I have to tell you all that and then you eat? No, you just pick the food up and eat. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But in the morning, then we're sitting there and going, well, you know, should I eat this one, you know, because of this and that, maybe this and that, you know, this one because of this health consideration, but that one because of that. You know, that means you're not actually that hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, whichever one makes you want to eat, you'll eat it, even with the, you know, the box. You know, it's like that one thing, you know, sadly, they had the guys are there and there's nothing left and everything's been bombed and all that, and somebody somehow or another found in a store a box of chocolate bars, you know, candy bars like that, and somebody was like so hungry and he gave him a candy bar, he just stuck it in his mouth with wrapper and everything and took a bite. You know, that's hungry. He doesn't care. You know, he can spit that out afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, if it doesn't chew up, he's okay. So that's the thing. It's not required. It doesn't mean that they're renounced. They're not interested in anything else other than Krishna. If you know Krishna, Krishna is the source of all knowledge. So if you know Krishna, you know all knowledge. It's already contained. So that's it. The spontaneous is there. And the varnashram is just, that's the situation in which you work. It's just like saying, it would be like this, is saying, I cook in the kitchen for Krishna, right? But the important thing is I am cooking for Krishna. I'm pleasing Krishna. How am I doing that? By cooking, right? Pleasing Krishna is the most important. Cooking is one of the ways to do and all that. I do that in the kitchen. You know, so then from that you get two parties. I mean, you have three parties, of course. One who understands that. You know, the perspective of the pure devotees. Then you have two other perspectives. That of basically, you know, of niyamagraha. Is that, see, it's all about the kitchen. Without the kitchen, you can't cook. If you can't cook, you can't please Krishna. So therefore, without the kitchen, you can't please Krishna. So therefore, the kitchen is the most important thing. So we have to put all the focus on making a first-class kitchen. Then only then, you know, proper cooking can go on. Right? The other one is, oh, but if it's all about pleasing Krishna, and I'm doing that to cook Krishna, so it's not actually about the kitchen, so we don't need kitchens. So when the people that say, we don't need varnashram, they're like the people that say, we don't need kitchens. And the people that say, no, without varnashram, we can't have it. That's the ones that they don't understand. No, varnashram already included in bhakti. It means Nanda Baba is what? He's a Vaishya. But of Vaishyas, he's the king. And he pays his tax to the Kshatriya kings. And the Kshatriya kings, they listen to their Brahmins. You know, and the Brahmins in Vrindavan, they do the yajnas. Right? And the Shudras, they're assisting everybody else there. like that. They all do their place. The cows stay in the cow shed. They don't hang out in the house. You know, the birds and that, they stay in the trees. They don't go inside. They don't fly in the house. When Krishna comes back to Braj, all the animals come with, they all stay outside. Because they're doing the service of animals, so they stay outside. They're there in the trees, and when Krishna comes out in the morning, then they all go with Krishna back out to the forest. You know, so everybody's doing their thing. Because it's based on the rati. So that's why we have a position now. We had a particular rati, where it's about influence and power. Therefore, the Kshatriya thing. It was all about money there. The Vaishya thing. It was all about knowledge under there. For the Brahmin thing. It's all about my arts and this and expressing, so I'm the Shudra thing. You know, so these things are there. That's why you got it. There they have their rati, and so it's there. It's just the field they work in. You know, just like if you want to make a chair, you go into the carpentry shop. You know, it's just that's the place where you do it. That's the place, you know. And so that's what we were saying before. Brahman is the place. Then in the Brahman, you perform activities to please Krishna. So these things aren't understood. So the sambandha abhideya prayojan, when they're understood, then it will make some sense. But if we don't approach it like that, we don't know where to put these things. So they're a tool to use. So it's not devotional service. You engage it, then it becomes devotional service. That's like saying, this microphone is devotional service. Or, no, it has nothing to do with devotional service. We don't need microphones. These are the two opinions that we deal with nowadays. Right? But the actual thing is, engaged in Krishna service is useful. If it's not engaged in Krishna service, we don't require it. I'm singing in the background bathroom, I don't need a microphone. Right? You're giving a class, you have a microphone. You know, unless you're Harry Belafonte or something, or then maybe you have a microphone in your bathroom because he sings so well everyone wants to hear. So, you know. You know, how you say, he put out a special album, you know, the bathroom recordings. You know, some of his best works, you know. No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just to clarify one point. So it's not that the residents of Vaikuntha in their pure state are not spontaneous to the Vaikuntha party.
In other words, just the natural attraction isn't the thing, it's the majesty.
Yeah.
They're attracted to God, but in the context of majesty. So it's always expressed in majesty. So yes, you'll see some aspect of spontaneous that they talk about. And they talk about sweetness. You know that prayer, the Madhurastakam?
Yeah.
That, you know, that's a Vaikuntha prayer.
Yeah.
And so then these aspects are there. That's why when we talk about it, they can relate. But it's just to the you know, it's just like, how you say, I have a great example, but I'm not sure if it will be appreciated in the particular present company. So, if you've been to South India?
Yeah.
You know, have you been like Sri Rangam and that? Have you gotten sweets from there?
Yeah.
And those kind of like fat fried ones with a kind of guru and other things inside? Yeah. They're sweet.
Sweet.
But not that sweet.
No.
And then you have a Bengali sweet.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention Bengali sweet is like...
Yeah, no, there's Bengali sweets and there's all other sweets.
Yeah, even you know, baklava and, you know, the meat.
Yeah.
It's very sweet, but it's not as sweet.
Sweet, yeah. Because how sweet can honey be, you know, because...
Yeah.
Like that. So that's the thing, is you have that. You're always going to have that kind of aspect. You're going to have, you know, because the thing is, it's how it's technically made, it's very far out. How it has the outside and the inside and then the fried and all that. It's very far out, the technicalness of it.
Yeah.
You know. And so that's going to be the whole thing, is the aspect of, you know, this is going to be sweeter. So it's going to be, Vaikuntha is sweet. You know, Dwarka is going to be sweeter. And then Vrindavan is going to be the sweetest. Mm. So you're always going to have that. You know, that's there's always that comparison. So Braj is the source of all other things. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's all good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because it'll make up for other things. Just to continue the example, so then if we just leave it on just the sweetness alone, is that the complexities of the flavors in the South Indian sweets will be much more in the background.
After
just all the other things with the gur, the this, the that, all in the background of it. And it's sweet. But it has all that. So it has that. It has the sweetness, but there's the whole majesty aspect. And so that's what makes up the taste. You know, in other words, Vrindavan is the sweetness, and the majesty is not even seen. The other than you start bringing it down, you know. You know, so Dwarka is kind of like this. You know, Mathura will be like that. You know, Vrindavan is like this, and Vaikuntha will be the other way. So there's always some other things. It's got much more. You know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just going to. Yeah. So they're going to have it. It's not enough where you call it spontaneous. It's not enough where you call it sweetness.
Yeah. I was thinking also if we apply Vyasya's and Samasti principle, then probably for the Vaikuntha Valas it is spontaneous, but we don't call it spontaneous.
Yes,
our definition of spontaneous is something else, because again, devotees, when reading, you know, the glories of Vaikuntha, it's very attractive, and they don't understand why we say it's not on that level of spontaneous, pure, unalloyed devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's just a different perspective how you know the Brajvasis view it, and how the Vaikuntha people or Dwarkavasis view it, and everybody is completely satisfied in their own place.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like you said, it's sweet, more sweet than the sweetness. So.
Yeah.
So for those who taste it, you know, it's like I have this example, like if you eat strawberry, then you eat dates. It's a nice flavor. But if you taste the dates before the strawberry is like super sour.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's always it's just like if you're eating, then you know you're always going from less sweet to more sweet. You know, in the cooking, even in the Bengali meal, you're starting with the bitter.
Yeah.
Which is very, you know, specifically bitter. You go to spinach, which is also bitter, but it's not, you know, depending on how you cook it. Then you go into the dal and all that, which is kind of a neutral kind of taste, and you have the chachuris and all that, but depending on what it is, they can start getting a little more sweet until you get into those, you know, ones with gravies and stuff like that. Then when you go into the, then after that, if you're doing a huge array, then you can go into fruits.
Yeah.
Right? But you'll start with the sour ones and go towards the more sweet ones. And also in that, it's also richness is there. Let's say mango is not as sweet maybe, but it's richer.
Yeah.
You know, or like chiku is richer.
Yeah.
You know, like that. So then you have that aspect. And then you go into sweets. But then you'll start with the grain sweets and all that. And then from that you go up and then go into milk sweets, and then you go from less sweet to more sweet. But as I said, you have to count richness also. Like Sandesh is not as sweet as a Rasgulla, but it's richer than a Rasgulla. I mean, significantly richer. So therefore you eat the Sandesh after. You'll appreciate because the richness will there, and then you'll taste the sweetness. So it's a whole science.
Yeah.
And what's served and what's order, you know. And because of not understanding that, I would say most people in just regular eating and also those in the health fields, they miss out on actually understanding how the body functions and digestion and all these things and how things are good for you and what can be mixed with what, because they have no idea of this combination.
Yeah.
Like that. So, yeah, what to do. So, therefore, then you just keep it really simple. For those who don't know, then they have a very simple way of doing things.
Yeah. Like a sandwich.
Yeah, like a sandwich, yeah. Like a sandwich. You know.
Satisfies all of your senses.
Yeah, you're done. So yeah, you keep it really simple. You know, and you see it. So the more that there's understood about order, the more complex their menu is. And the less. So it's like in Europe, you always have the, depending on what it is, but soup, salad, and then, you know, how you say, the main course or a sub, then the main, or a main and then a secondary. And then there'll be the sweets afterwards. Like that. But nowadays, people just sit all together and eat it as they like and this and that. Generally, they eat sweets afterwards. Still. Yeah. But, you know, then you have the Gujarati, they eat the sweets along with it. You know. Gets too salty, eat the sweet. Gets too hot, eat the sweet. Gets too sweet, eat the salty. So it works. So it works for a mentality.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like one person, he eats something, he feels good. Another person eats the same thing, he doesn't feel good. So you have to see the mentality also. So if someone likes that kind of thing, and that, then they eating it that way will be very good for them. But someone else, it may not be. Like that. So, you know, hence the different cuisines, the different, you know, it's all based on the regions, all this and that. So then you have the, you know, these regions as they go out in Vaikuntha. So they'll have specific flavors, specific qualities. And even within that, then you're within Vaikuntha, they want to be with Keshava. Someone else wants to be with Narayana. Someone else with Govinda. Someone else with Madhusudana, like this. So then, like that, they have all the different flavors. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's understood as the spontaneous is the. You don't require the intellect, like we're practicing Buddhi Yoga. With intelligence we're practicing because we see it's superior. We've been through discussions we've been convinced, and also through practice we've been convinced. It's through intelligence we do those things. Like it's in the morning, you don't want to get up, but no, but I should because it's, you know, Brahma Muhurta, this, that, blah. Through intelligence you try to convince yourself.
Yeah.
You know, or you've already been convinced, so you just go and that's it. You're regulated. You just do things.
Yeah.
But there's people who just want to be a Mangala Arati. You know, so they're not the ones that are getting up at 4 o'clock and walking in, you know, just as they're blowing the conch, or after they've blown the conch before the curtain, or just after the curtains but before the Arati, but at least latest by the lamp.
Yeah.
Most devotees, if they get there by the lamp, they consider they're not late. If they're there after the lamp, then they'll think, oh, I'm late for the Artik. Because technically, Artik means the lamp.
Yeah.
Whether they know it or not, but it just, there's that feeling that, you know. So, they're not the ones like that. They're the ones that are in the temple chanting beforehand and waiting and all this and that. Because they want to be there.
I know devotees, they meditate on next Mangalarti, on next program, on next kirtan,
well,
like that.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah. See, it's just, they just like... So it'd be there, but now you may not say that they're on the platform of spontaneous devotional service because it's only happening there.
Yeah.
In other aspects, it's not happening.
Right.
So when that spontaneity becomes the prominence, then you call it spontaneous. So that's why everybody has a taste. But how much and where, that's it. But when it reaches a certain volume, then you call it. Just like there's a little bit of faith, but when it reaches a certain volume, then you call it Shraddha. You know, everybody's, you know, bumped into a devotee, but you call it association or sadhusanga when it has a certain volume. Or everybody does a little something that's to do with devotional practices, but when it reaches a certain volume, call it Bhajana Kriya.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like that. So it just goes. So it just has to be appreciated that a rag is there, and so then it's just a matter of it becoming the prominence. So we follow. And even after it becomes the prominence, the 64 items are still followed.
Yeah.
It's just that You don't follow because they make you attracted to Krishna. You're already attracted. They're just the ways to express your attraction to Krishna. That's the difference. The one is, this is the way to express. I don't have, but this is the way to express, so I'm doing it. I want to, so I'm expressing my desire to have attraction by following the rules of attraction. What is it? The law of attraction.
Law of attraction.
Yes.
It's
so,
universal.
Yes, yes. See? Yeah. Then, when you come to spontaneous, that's what's doing, and then these are still the ways you express it. But the difference is in spontaneous, then it may be certain ones are more major for you, and you'll focus on those rather than the generic until you find that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting point that in the beginning, the jnana nourishes the rasa. Because without jnana, we can distinguish. What is Vartiva, what is Swargiya, what is Vaikuntha or Rasabhas. But then later on, rasa actually gives meaning to jnana, because without rasa there's no meaning of jnana. Jnana doesn't mean anything if you're not enjoying actually. So it's an interesting dynamic when it goes this way and then turns back.
Yeah, that's how it is. Because we're starting this way and then it goes that way.
Yeah.
Because it's a reflection.
Yeah.
So that's why we use it in one way. It's not that it doesn't continue, it just switches to the spontaneous.
Yeah.
So that's all. Because it's the original. Yeah. Yeah, so that's why then Rupa Goswami, then when he's defining the nine processes of devotion, and he's saying dasyam, because you have dasyam sakyam atma nivedanam, which are basically more kind of like the mentality and all that. The dasyam just means I'm servant of Krishna. While in other sampradayas, they'll take it dasyam means varnashram. Because in Vaikuntha, the varnashram is very much part of the majesty. And so everyone's going to do their duties very nicely within that varnashram system. Does that make sense? So for them, it's very much part of their devotional process.
Yeah.
You know, because we'll see it in the spontaneous platform. Generally, as the form of it, it's always, varnashram is always part of it, but it's not actually necessary. If it's not there, like the gopis and Krishna and the rasa dance, you know, where does varnashram come in? You understand? It takes very much a background. So it's not. It's there as the form, but then they take it to higher and higher levels, because Vaikuntha only goes up to prema.
Yeah.
But the spontaneous can go beyond prema. So that's the sneha and all these other things, and then at that point it's not required. So for them the form stays. And, you know, I'm sure that now and again they have some special things that they do that are out of the ordinary and everything like that. They have, you know, they have their unlimited variety, you know, within the context of majesty and within using that whole formal system. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, because there is the Kshatriya culture, you know, the Brahmins are there and they worship the Lord in majesty and all that. So it's very much part necessary. But in Braj, it's just an excuse for doing something. It's an excuse to be out in the open in the forest to, one, to get away from the house, because you're taking yogurt to the market, you know? And at the same time, to be out in the forest where Krishna can come and you can interact. So it's not the medium. It just becomes a way in which that devotion can be expressed, but it's not actually the medium. Well, in Vaikuntha, then, you know, as Kshatriyas, that they do the big thing and all that, then that takes the, it becomes the point. So it's all that, and it's the Kshatriya culture, but on the Deva platform.
Yeah.
But Vrindavan, Braj, is on the human platform. You know, and you could say, "Oh, but it's lower in this and that." But where do all species of life come from? from which, where's the central place that from there your next births are all decided?
On here.
Here. So it's the source of everything else. All 8,400,000 start here. You can say you started at Brahma because you just don't have it. When you get to here, that's where you can go out. From Brahma, you just fall. But once you get to there, then you can go to all the others. You know, you're Brahma, you're pious enough, you say that. If not, then you become Prajapatis, and not, you become the great sages, but not become just local sage, and like that, then you just, you know, until you end up as that sage that they pull off the thing and put in the potatoes before they bake them.
Oh, yeah,
Rosemary. Rosemary, but there's another one called sage. They're basically all about
the
sage.
Oh, sage. Oh, yeah, oh yeah. I see. Yeah. Oh, it's a name for spice.
Yeah, it's a name of a spice.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know, just like, yeah, you know, ginger spice and all those other names. Yeah.
Okay.
No?
I don't know. I mean, I've never heard this kind of thing.
No.
More than something practical.
Yes, yes. You know, so it comes down. So therefore, the human pastimes, the braj, are the source of all other realms. All the avaranas, everything else. Everything comes from there. It's the center. But because it's based on sweetness, therefore, when you talk about the formality of the avaranas, it makes sense when you're talking about Mahanarayan. You know, it makes sense there. Because in Krishna, how it goes out, you don't see that. It's Radha and Krishna, and then it has the 8 gopis, and then you have the mantras, and then everybody goes out, and you have Yogamaya, and then how that goes, and Vrinda. So it's not necessary there, because you have all these personal relationships. But there, these others, then it's a matter of formality, and this one's superior, this one's this, that, and you know, everyone has their spot and their service, you know. And it's based on that formality. Well, on Braj, it's just that you have the relationship, you know, senior, equal, or junior, and you have your service. So the same thing is accomplished, but it's in the spontaneous platform, while the other one happens in formality.
Yeah.
So the avaranas are for describing the formality.
Right.
But it's not that we can't, that those things can't be described from Krishna. Like I remember we were where were we? May have been Trivandrum. Not Trivandrum. Wait, Sri Rangam, what's next to Sri Rangam? The station.
Trichinopoly.
Yeah, it might have been there. That there was someone there who was, you know, he's a big pundit in the Sri line. Like that. He was a, you know, editor-in-chief of their magazine and things like that. And so then he was talking and all that, and then they got some discussion came out, Sri Bhuvanila, trying to understand something. He says, that's just like you have Radharani, Lalita, Vishaka. So he kind of understood a little bit of how the two went, but he'll take it that that's a junior of this. This is the main thing. And these are side pastimes. They're sweet, they're nice, but, you know, it's all based on this.
Yeah.
Like that. But the point is he had some understanding. Most pundits never see that far.
So he could match, actually.
He could match, yeah. You know, so like that, you know. Like that. So he would have been what you call like a theologian.
Yeah.
You know, not a priest. He's a, you know, not that he was a Brahmin, he could do all those things. He probably did his morning puja and everything. But he knew the philosophy very well. Yeah. Like that. He knew all that kind of stuff like that. So, so then it's just a matter of, in Vaikuntha, then that for them, the Varnashram becomes very much an integral part of the structure of how they function. For Vrindavan, it's just kind of like a background, like you walk on the ground and, you know, the social thing is based on Varnashram. It only has that the support as much as that. It doesn't have more. Well, it's not the main medium. The spontaneity is the main medium in Vrindavan. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says it's not. That's why he specifically says it's not Varnashram. Because the Shris will say it's Varnashram.
Yeah.
Dasya means Varnashram. Performing your duties to please the Lord. You know, it's done without any, it's just to please him. So we'll say the same thing, we just won't say it's that. We'll just say it's that principle of doing whatever you're doing to please the Lord. Naturally, a devotee is functioning in Varnashram, so we don't have to make a separate statement about it. But that's the thing, is that you see on how you say? That aspect within the Sambandha Gyan about the situation of things and the mentality. You know, because you're looking at that we don't see. Generally, the things that is done to please Krishna, that we catch. But the necessarily the position of things and the attitude, the aspect of Yukta Vairagya, that's not always so well understood. You know, so then it'll have those problems, you said.
Yeah.
Okay. Furthermore, the material senses experience the enjoyment of the objects of the material world, and the sense devatas, being enablers of the senses, do not enjoy. However, without Brahma and others being situated in the intelligence, I, etc., the senses of even those fixed in Krishna consciousness could not experience form or smell. This is the opinion of those knowledgeable of the soul. Right? Because the mechanical things are there. Because of eagerness to taste Krishna, Brahma and others were able to experience bliss in spite of two faulty reasons. Though mere instigators of action of the senses, karta, they took on the role of being enjoyer, bhokta, and though they were the devatas of material senses, they took on the role of being devatas of spiritual senses. Right? So, the devata is not the one enjoying, they're just the mechanics that's dealing with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so, that someone has the power, has the facility, but they're not the one enjoying. Like someone authorizes you to cook, you cooking, you get that experience, they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're making that mistake. And they're making the mistake that they're the devatas of the material senses, but not of the spiritual. But it's eager, because of eagerness to taste Krishna, they're able to taste despite these two faulty reasons. So they're saying it's because of this, but it's not because of that. It's just because of their relationship, the soul with Krishna, so therefore they're able to taste.
Yeah.
So actually, even in the material, on the material plane, they're not enjoying through the senses.
No, they're just in control of the senses. You know, it's just like the guy, let's say he's in charge of electricity. He's not enjoying the electricity.
Yeah.
It's coming to your house. Your AC's working. He may be sitting there. There's no AC.
So they just activate material senses.
They're just in control of. So it gives them that, because there's power and there's enjoyment.
Yeah.
But power is more than enjoyment. Right? Because it's like this. If I'm in control, supposedly I could enjoy.
Yeah.
Whether I do or not is another thing. Right. But if I'm enjoying, I'll always be in anxiety that enjoyment may stop unless I'm in control.
Yeah.
So when it comes, push comes to shove, down to am I going to enjoy or be in control, the tendency is to take control. So that's why it's envy that started the process. Envy of Krishna, that we want to enjoy like that. So it's not just I want to enjoy like that and Krishna's enjoying like that. You know, Krishna's enjoying like that, so I want to enjoy like that also, so I jump in and then like that. No, it's a matter of, you know, why I should be the center. So envy is the main. That's why the kutinati is such a problem.
Also, it seems that it's an ultimate feminine thing. If enjoyment and control comes into scene, they always take control.
Mm-hmm. Because then that gives you the option you can enjoy.
Yeah.
It's always options. You know, even if they're not enjoying, at least no one else should. So they want to control it, that's there. Yeah. So all these things come, because for Krishna, he is in control, he is the enjoyer. So it's only with the energies that these things come up as a discussion. So in the spiritual platform, they're all being done in context of pleasing Krishna. So there's no conflict there. But on the material platform, each one wants to be the controller and enjoyer. Therefore, then, here you see the big problem. Right. Son?
Yeah.
These are the contrary actions of prema. And Padyavali has said, one reaches perfection by lying and criticizing. Factually, the senses of the associates of the Lord are spiritual like the Lord. So how could material devatas enter the spiritual senses? Another meaning of the verse, sometimes some devotees will praise their own fortune out of greediness for Krishna's sweetness. Quote, the good fortune of the inhabitants of Braja is incomparable, Eka. We 10 devatas, 10 dikpalas, are most fortunate. Why? Touching with his finger his own senses, he says, we also experience with our senses your beauty and sweetness as we leave Braja to herd the cows. Sardarta Darshani 10:14:33. Right, so just they're very so it works all right for all these other rasas. Nice, you know, you can have that and it enhances, but you have to be very, very careful. It's not that they're not actually proud; it's that they're, you know, impressed with Krishna, because we see as then Krishna, then see when the gopis become proud, but it's proud of their fortune, but not in the context of, you know, it's in the context of Krishna, but it's more about themselves than Krishna leaves. Right, because they think they're the fortunate ones, so they're seeing Krishna and themselves without Radharani. Right, so it's they are fortunate because of their position and relationship and connection with Radha and Krishna, because that's Braj. So once that mentality is there, then the rasa dance, the maharas, happens. Otherwise, as you see, Prabhupada calls it the introduction to rasa dance.
Yeah,
it's not rasa dance.
Right.
Then the later chat, that's called rasa dance. That's only after that mentality is understood. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.